Welcome to Comically Inclined! I am Danny Stewart, the Nerd King, and your host for this show.
And this is The Way.
This is The Way.
And I'm Blake Hickman, the Digital Media Director.
Blake, that helmet looks...
Thank you.
Chef's kiss. Very nice.
I have a slight addiction, so...
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with having a slight addiction as long as it's not a serious addiction.
Yeah, exactly. Moderation's key.
Moderation is key. That is correct. I was trying to monitor our show on my iPad, but apparently I'm not logged into our Facebook on my iPad. So let me share the stream real quick. Deontay, what is up, my dude? Deontay, if you want to, you could join the live stream. Just a suggestion, but you don't have to. But if you do have your top five list, you could totally jump in. Blake, we've been gone for a couple of weeks, man. What have you been up to?
We have. A lot of work, just like you. And, man, catching up finally on Mandalorian.
Well, I'm caught up other than the newest episode, but you can just spoil the hell out of it for me because I'm very good at pretending that I know or I don't know what's going on when I watch a thing. So
and you had a pretty nice vacation far off, didn't you?
Yeah. So Katrina and I went to Myrtle Beach, and I made some really good purchases while I was in Myrtle Beach, and I was going to share them with you on the show.
Yeah.
So give me just a second because I want to get them all. So 2 seconds. I'll be right back.
Sure. What's up, Marcus? Appreciate it. This is the new edition. I now have five Mandalorian.
I guess if we're
four Mandalorian helmets.
I guess if we're wearing helmets, give me a second too. I made something.
Is it the Wolverine? Nice. Did you print that?
So it's not done yet. It still needs paint, but I got this sweet red hood helmet that I 3D printed.
That looks sick.
But the original from the comics.
Heck yeah.
What do you think? Oh, I can't hear you. I don't have my headphones on.
I love that. That looks sick.
Yeah, I can't wait to get the paint job done on it. That's the next stage. I got to do some sanding up in her, and then it should be good to go. Got it nice and filled and ready.
I'm actually going to probably holler at you. I'm probably going to get one of our printers and bring them over here, but then... If you're not got, it depends what you have going on, but after buying this fourth Mandalorian helmet and it actually being Din Djarin's, I'm about to order a flight suit and I want to print out some armor. So,
okay.
I want to go ahead and get this going.
But so one of the cool things, what's up, Marcus Locke? Thanks for jumping in. I just bought a pack of thermistors. And that's the error that we're getting off of the other two printers. So as soon as I get them replaced, we should have all three up and going.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So anyway, Myrtle Beach, we walked the beach and they had a little place called Broadway on the Beach, and they had some little shops and stores. And one of the things they had was a Pops store. They had a bunch of nerd stores actually on the beach, which just another sign of, how in vogue nerd culture is right now. But, I got this,
Oh yeah. I
got this Immortal Hulk.
Oh, wow.
And it is the previews exclusive one. So that was pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
I haven't opened it, and I can't decide if I want to or not.
I haven't seen one of those.
Yeah. So it's the series that I turned you on to, Immortal Hulk, probably one of the best comic series I've read in a good long while. So I kind of love it. He's holding the earth and it's like exploding. I believe this is actually a comic book cover to the series. But that one's really cool.
I'm jealous of that.
In another store, I came across the whole collection of these. And I don't know if you've seen these yet or not, but they're the comic book Ninja Turtles. So got Raphael, Michelangelo.
Heck yeah.
Donatello.
Oh, you got them all?
Leonardo. And the main man, Casey Jones. And they're all like based on the original Eastman and Laird comic book art.
Nice.
So they've got like cell kind of like, they're kind of cell shaded, and I've got Shredder coming. I found Shredder on Amazon and ordered it, and it should have been here today. So he might just be upstairs. But I didn't see it delivered yet.
Heck yeah. Well,
but yeah, pretty excited about those. So that was my haul from Myrtle Beach.
You're not the only one that bought pops this week then.
No. Oh, what'd you get?
All right. So I actually brought these to share too. So,
human relations specialist and fact checker extraordinaire Ben is in the stream. Thank you, Ben, for joining us. Oh, and Billy Rhodes has finally returned to grace us with his very incredible sense of humor and knowledge.
So, anyways, Pop also has a Hall of Armor, and I think right now they only have four of them out of Tony Stark's Hall of Armor. And
oh, damn.
They are all in their cases.
That's awesome.
So
that is absolutely awesome.
I'm hoping they come out with more so you can just build it up.
Well, yeah. So what are you going to do? You're going to build like a display stand or like a hall to put them in?
Yeah. I'd like to just do a display stand if they keep adding more. Kind of go about four or five wide and just go up from there and add some lighting and stuff.
Yeah, they'll probably come out with something that works like that. Billy says, I essentially live on a river. I don't always have the best service. Billy, it is okay. No pressure. Be here when you can. Oh, yeah. Blake, show the people.
So we have a new addition to the Infinity Sleeve. My next one being done up is Ant-Man and Hawkeye and a little bit more background. But I finally got the top, and I now have the Infinity Gauntlet due to the snap. So
very nice. Very, very nice. The only, and this isn't an issue with your tattoo, the only issue I have with the use of the Infinity Gauntlet in the MCU is that you can use the powers without doing anything. I don't know why a snap was so important. Like, whenever he went to use it and Captain America grabbed his hand and stopped him from snapping,
yeah,
he could have just used the powers anyway.
Yeah, well, they took your money watching it, so...
That's true. It's just one of those interesting little plot holes that I think about a lot. My wife Katrina, my beautiful bride, is in the comments as well. In the comics he did snap to symbolize the use of the power, but I don't believe anyone kept his two fingers apart to keep him from using the Infinity Gauntlet ever. That's what I'm saying. Like, he can use it, like he did use it. He used the different stones' powers in the movies without snapping or doing any kind of physical gestures. So
maybe though it was a snap to use all of them together.
Katrina, if you're listening, can you do me a favor? I was supposed to have a Shredder pop delivered today. If that came in, would you mind bringing it down to me? Yeah, snapping plays good on camera. It's just that, like, I just think it's one of those fun plot holes that nobody really considered. It's like, why snapping was not that important to the use of the Infinity Gauntlet. That's it. That was the whole thing. It's kind of like Indiana Jones being useless in Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, he has no impact on the story beginning to end.
I had to go ahead and take the helmet off, so I'll find my way back to Redemption later to the waters of Mandalore.
Ah, yes, the living waters of Mandalore, and hopefully you'll see a...
Well, back at Mandalore, we just call it the water, because we all know it's living.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That wasn't a correction, I just wanted to say it.
I'm just messing with you.
Are you? I just feel like my feelings are being hurt. Anyway.
Well, you know, I will coddle them, and I will caress you until the feelings go away.
Oh, Balake. So we had AnimeCon a couple of weeks ago, you know, most of the people in chat were actually in attendance. Deontay was there, Ben was there, Katrina was there, Billy was on the river. No, don't have to feel bad about that at all, Billy. But I think that it was a really great con this time. They're usually good, man. But I think this one was way up there.
Phenomenal. It was definitely a record setter.
Yeah, and people are showing up. They're turning out, and they're having a great time. I think one of the biggest highlights of the con was the ramen eating contest.
Yeah, that and the cosplay as always as well. But man, the ramen was so fun. And man, what's crazy is it will blow your mind how quick these people can eat ramen.
I'm telling you that the winner was six bowls of ramen, and he was fast. Like, everybody else was starting their fifth, and he was halfway through his sixth. And
they all use chopsticks only on top of that.
Yeah. It was a good time. Don't sleep on the Cat Cafe. Katrina's right. That sure. The Cat Cafe was popping all weekend long. For sure. Great. Yeah.
That's always a feature favorite that everybody loves.
The Hello Kitty cupcakes and the cat butt cookies were to die for. I also the cat cake pops were like so good, and we sold them so quickly that they had to go make more and come back to the con. Like, we went through them that fast.
You know you're doing something right. That happens.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great weekend. I'm really looking forward to our next one. Cowboys and Camping on June 3rd and 4th. And then don't sleep on Cape Con either, because we've got we're working on some great guests for the next con. At Cowboys and Camping, we're going to have 4EJ Smith from Yellowstone. He plays Lloyd. And I'm like almost four seasons into Yellowstone, and holy shit, is that show good.
Is it? I mean, like,
it is so good.
I didn't even start watching it until after the third season was out, and I was like, fine, I'll watch it. And then I started watching it, and I couldn't stop. I lost so much sleep until I was caught up.
I've heard people say that it's Game of Thrones on a dude ranch, and they're right. That is 100% the vibe of the show.
I say it's like a mixture between Game of Thrones and Sons of Anarchy on a dude ranch.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It very much is. Yeah, Deontay, man, just let me know what you think, dude. It's that show's lit.
It's lit.
So yeah, that was great. And we're working on our guest lineup for Cape Con. We got some other great things planned. So you know, keep an eye on the socials, because we'll keep you aware of it. Blake, in the meantime, do you want to give us some news? You got any good news?
I got some good news. Let's fire up the rumor mill. All right, so right off the bat, I'm not so crazy about this, because y'all know how I kind of feel about this character, or this actor, actually. But, man, I think this might end up being the person that's going to be playing Reed Richards, because we've had all these rumors, we've heard all these hearsay, but we have never heard the statement, a certain person is in final talks for a role. And that being coming from Daniel Rickman, which has a lot of leaks of news, has always been like 90% accurate on his stuff. Says that Adam Driver is in final talks for Reed Richards.
Man, just fine. But give me John Krasinski, please.
Please.
Like, why not? Why not? Like, I just feel like there's not even that big of an age difference between Krasinski and Adam Driver that it's worth getting a younger actor to play Reed just so you have more longevity. Like,
and I hope he don't screw up the character like Kylo Ren.
Yeah, John Krasinski. Same. I feel the exact same.
I hope this is false. I hope this is a misdirect to put out there on purpose, which it can easily happen. But man, it literally says he's in final talks. And that's the first time we've heard that statement with any actor.
Dude, Billy, I don't have anything against Adam Driver's acting. I like Adam Driver as an actor. I've enjoyed him in a lot of films, but I just don't know why we're not just keeping Krasinski.
Yeah.
It's like if they'd have put RDJ in the first Iron Man movie and then cast someone else for the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've already seen the guy who should be Reed Richards on screen as Reed Richards. And we should keep getting that guy. Yeah. He was great. I just don't see it.
No. So we have Marvel Comics actually bringing Layla as a Scarlet Scarab from the MCU to the comic pages, a character that was actually not the Scarlet Scarab from the comics, but they're actually adapting the MCU to the comics right now. But they've done that a couple of times with, like, Darcy, you know, from Thor. That's with Jane. She's not in the comics, but when she came out in the MCU, they actually adapted her character to the comic pages as well. So
they did the same thing with Coulson.
Yep. Agent Coulson's another one. I think Darcy and Coulson so far are the only two, but this makes the third one now. So, and she's actually, Layla's a combination of the two prior characters that was Scarlet Scarab. So she's just kind of a combination of the original two as a new name. So,
yeah. He got killed in like 20 seconds of meeting him. But it's still Reed Richards. Like, he was still Reed. I don't care how that went down, whether he got
that
turned
was not into our universe, so.
Whether he got turned into Play-Doh spaghetti or not. I think that it's still the guy that looked the most like Reed Richards on screen that we've gotten so far. And I think it's a good choice. But I do want to say, like, I love this thing where they're both bridging the gap between Marvel Comics and the MCU, and then they're also bridging the gap between the MCU and Marvel Comics. I love probably one of the most well-known characters to make the transition from a screen medium to the comic medium and have such a lasting effect is Harley Quinn. And it just tends to be really cool whenever that happens.
Yeah. Then next on the list, we can announce the elephant in the room or the king in the room or however you want to say this. But man, Jonathan Majors is not looking too good. So there's been more women come forward mentioning that they've been abused by him, which this is typical. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Every time somebody announces something, there's a whole bunch of trails and you don't know what to believe. It's not looking good. Entertainment 360, his talent agent, has dropped him. They've already recast his character in a couple other movies he's supposed to be in that's not Marvel related. And also, he was supposed to attend the Met Gala, and that is off the books for him to attend now. They have made an agreement that he shouldn't attend it. So
I honestly really, really hope that it was not the case that any of this was true. But there is like, you get a certain body of evidence that it makes it really hard to disagree with it. You still have to wait. I mean, the court of public opinion tends to be really hasty to decide people's fates. So he could be fired and completely removed and then never hear from him again. And then it finally go to trial and it turns out none of it was true, you know, and by that point you've already ruined a man's career. And I don't think we have any way to stop this, the momentum of this. I think that you can, unless, I don't know. I can't think of a scenario where he comes back from this. No,
I don't know. It's going to be hard. I hope it's not true, and I hope he gets a redemption. I really do. Because I'd love to see him keep playing King. And also, I just don't want it to be true, just for him in general. So.
It just makes me sad because we got so many years of MCU movies without anything like this happening.
Right.
What do you guys think about Adam becoming King? I think Adam Driver would be a good King the Conqueror. I think that if you whitewash Kang now, though, you're going to have a lot of people really, really angry at Marvel. So the fact that they're still moving forward with the Kang Dynasty movie, which maybe they will recast, I think that the smart thing to do would be to not lose the momentum they've had. But it just seems like with the trouble that Marvel felt with Phase 4, it was not well received, despite the fact that I generally liked it. It was not well received compared to their previous stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we were all kind of fingers crossed that Phase 5 would be the thing that kind of turns that whole thing around. And now it's like, I don't know, dude. They're taking another hit on who's going to be playing Kang. Jonathan Majors was a great casting. He did a great job. And now it's like,
yeah,
if they get rid of him, we don't know for sure that they're recasting Kang, but I think it's in the cards. I think you can kind of.
Yeah. What I was saying about recasting early, they've recast him in a couple other movies that was coming up, but it wasn't in any Marvel movies that they recast him in as of now.
Yeah. I think I agree with Ben. I think the best thing they could do is just pick a new villain and change the direction of Phase 5.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing they could possibly do to salvage this and do some, you know, go back to do some reshoots and stuff. Boyega'd be good. He would be good.
Yeah. Let's see. Next on the list. So speaking of Kang Dynasty Avengers, set to start filming spring of next year. And we have the release date, you know, May 2nd, 2025. But they are already planning filming spring of next year. So it goes to show you kind of the preparation, the time they're going to be putting into this movie as well.
Yeah. What's up, Deanna? Again, they're moving forward with production on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have to go back and redo it. I think more than likely we'll be looking at a recast though. I think they have too much hanging on Kang being the villain.
Yeah.
That
and they can easily go the variant route.
I mean, they honestly, that's a huge escape to replace anybody in the MCU now, and it'd be
yes.
okay.
Yes. Yeah, it's very similar to the decision in Doctor Who to just make the Doctor regenerate so that no matter who they cast, it's still the main character.
Sure.
And that's what the variance opens up. So they could... I'm just so brought down by this, dude. Give us some good news. Give us some good news.
Sorry. So, a little bit more higher up. Let's see. X-Force, are they to return in Deadpool 3? There's been no mentions of X-Force up till now. There's been no leaks, no anything. And now Ryan Reynolds drops a tweet with the X-Force picture and says that X-Force will live forever. So are we going to get X-Force back in this? And who are I was going to say, what kind of version are we going to get with what costumes? So,
dude,
that's exciting.
If I just I so want the gray and black Wolverine costume on screen, like I would yes. kill. We got the gray and black Deadpool costume in Deadpool 2 after he got blown up. It changed the colors of his costume to the gray and black X-Force costume. But if they could just do that for all of the X-Force characters and maybe even give us X-23, you know,
yeah,
I haven't heard anything about Daphne Keene. Being cast for Deadpool 3, but man, if they brought X-23 in too,
because and this is the movie that they could do any of that with. Like they could literally, this would be the movie. Just give all this fan service, give all these cameos, like, and then after that, you know, he's in the MCU, and then go with whatever route they want to go with that. But this would be the movie that they could pull anything off if they want to.
Yeah. Yes, and let's see. We got some stuff going on in the chat. Billy, they did kind of acknowledge the Rhodey recast. It was just him saying, "I'm here. It's me. Deal with it." The Bruce Banner recast was never addressed at all.
Yeah.
I heard Hugh Jackman is actually being casted as himself in the movie, well, not as Wolverine.
That's one of the rumors is he said he's playing a dual role. So either he's going to be playing himself and Wolverine or two different Wolverines or something of that nature.
I think that it's probably that he's playing Wolverine and Hugh Jackman
probably
as himself. And I think that it would probably be something akin to Deadpool jumping into Hugh Jackman's house or something and being like, you got to do it. Or like threatening him with a gun or something. Like you got to play Wolverine. And then that gets him back in or something.
Or similar to the way he makes him go in and like destroy his coffee warehouse or something like that.
Yeah. But probably something akin to him shooting himself before he played Green Lantern in Deadpool 2.
Yeah. Let's see. Next on the list. We got a new Guardians 3 clip released where we're getting Gamora and Star-Lord talking to each other while they're in those colorful spacesuits.
Yeah. So that's I believe the spacesuits are a reference to 2001 A Space Odyssey, mm-hmm. is what Gunn had said.
Yep. I'm sitting here trying to think. I watched that clip earlier today, what they talked about. Oh, he's like, I think he was talking about how they fell in love or whatever, and she's like, I'm not that girl or something like that. It wasn't a very long clip or anything, but then Nebula and all them's like, hey, you realize we can hear through all of our suits. And then every color that is supposed to be a transpondent to a certain suit is not the color matching the button.
And oh, that's funny.
It's just a giant funny mishap. But yeah, that was kind of fun. Get a little bit of that. Was that May 5th that comes out, I believe?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming right around the corner, and we're giving away two tickets.
We are.
We're giving away two tickets to go see Guardians of the Galaxy with the Comically Inclined crew. We don't have the contest figured out just yet, so keep an eye on the socials, and we'll have something up.
That's going to be a great one, too. Oh, man, I cannot wait. Guardians never lets down.
Yeah, and also, I don't believe we've ever let a fan down who got to come see a movie with us.
Oh, no,
as far as
no.
I know, every single person we've ever taken to see a movie with us is still a fan of us and our
show. 100%. So. And we make sure you sit right between me and Danny. We hold your hand the whole time.
Yeah, and we just Jonathan Majors the hell out of you.
See, next on the list. Speaking of Guardians, Nebula, as we see in the trailer, is getting one hell of an upgrade on her arm. Her arm actually turns into a giant, like, cannon. So that's new, something we've never seen before. Kind of like, I don't know. It's like that big around.
Yes. And that's cool. I wonder if it's some kind of situation where she used Bucky's arm to upgrade her own arm.
Dude, that would be sick.
Wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's great. And kind of like the looks of it, the visual, almost kind of just like the way they plated it and made the metal look, I think where it can change. It reminds me of the Sentinels on Days of Future Past. The way they kind of, I don't know. I know it's nothing like that, but it looks like that.
Yeah, it's cool. And or maybe maybe
that's
a little
snoring. That's serenading.
James Gunn spazzing out before going to DC. Yeah, I think maybe a little reminiscent of Ulysses Claw's sonic cannon out of his arm too.
Yep. That's
yeah.
So let's see. So we all know Blade kind of got almost a complete rewrite. There's like actually even some recast. And then the whole production got put off, and we haven't really heard nothing about that in a while. Now we do have an update that the production will begin in June of this year. So finally moving forward with that. That's something I'm really anxious to see. So, I mean, really, that's probably the first, I mean, since from the 90s up, the first Marvel film like that did actually well on screen.
It's actually credited with kicking off the superhero film boom. Because it was so popular. And wasn't there a rumor that they cut the Black Knight out of the movie now?
Yes, we talked about that.
Didn't we talk about something like that?
We did. That was in our rumor mill. They actually have part of the rewrite was they actually cut Kit Harington's part out. Not the character altogether in the story, but he's not going to be in that movie anymore. So,
yeah. Ben, I'm going to say that Drax is definitely dead. And I think Star-Lord is definitely going to survive. I don't think Rocket is going to die, even though that's kind of been like the rumor. Mm-hmm. I did see that like theory that like everybody who whose colors are used in the promotional materials die. And so it's like Rocket and Drax. But I think Rocket's going to make it mostly because there's almost nothing that goes like you don't have to really hire an actor or anything for Rocket. He's just a CGI character. True. So really anybody could voice that character. It doesn't always have to be Bradley Cooper. There's really no reason like production wise to kill him off unless he's got like a kid or something and we Black Panther him and have Rocket Jr. And then Billy, Wesley Snipes can't be Blade again because he's, you know, 70.
I would love to see a Wesley Snipes cameo though in the new Blade movie. Yeah. But who I think is I think Drax is definitely dying. And like you said, they do lead you to think in the trailer that it could be Rocket. And I don't know. They do love doing Mr. X. So I'm definitely gonna see Drax. And man, I'm gonna say Drax is Star-Lord.
I think Nebula.
Yeah.
I think Nebula's going to die.
It's possible. I mean, they've kind of got us to where we have a little bit more of an emotional attachment, you know, since Endgame was there. So, yeah.
I would go so far as to say that Nebula and Gamora having a good relationship and Nebula being this far along in their story that they're the kind of the better of the two of them now as far as good intentions. I'm going to say that her progression is kind of up and they occupy the same space on the team. So I think that we're definitely not losing Zoe Saldana. And I would say that I think Peter and Gamora are going to survive. I think Rocket and Groot are going to survive. I think we're losing Nebula. I think we're losing Drax. I think Mantis is going to survive. And then I think what will happen is that the Guardians that won't be in the next film are going to be replaced by the Guardians that were used in Guardian 2, who were all of the other Guardians that they showed. So, Sylvester Stallone is in this film playing that character again, and his character is a former leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics. And so every single one of those characters that was shown in the different spaceships are actually comic book characters that have been members of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So you have that whole cast to draw from.
Yeah, no, that's a solid explanation. I could go with that, honestly.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid, especially what you said about Nebula. Because, I mean, the whole Thanos, era is over with, and that was her big role, and tie in.
Between that, I don't think Alpha Groot is going to die.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I think they've outplayed that, but I think he's just joking. But hey, we all know if he dies, he's just going to keep coming back probably. So,
but he, so Gunn's explanation for that is that it's actually his son and not him.
Right. Yeah. That's, but so, he can play an offspring off of him though.
In the comics, it is that Groot just can't die as long as there's a sliver of him left. But in the movies, right. It's he actually does die, and then it's just a child.
Yep, it's just an offspring. And that's a kind of their explanation for the different look of Groot, too, because a lot of people were kind of up in arms about that. But it makes complete sense when you explain it that way.
I don't, Ben, I don't think we're going to get, I don't think we're going to get Star-Lord. Chris Pratt as Superman. I don't think so. Because I think Gunn has said repeatedly he's going for a younger Clark Kent. And,
yeah.
And he's older than me, so I don't see them going with him.
Yeah, Chris Pratt's older than you? How is Chris Pratt now?
We're either the same age or he's a year older than me.
Gotcha. See, next on the list. So, the name that we love to mention and that we're still behind, Mephisto. There's rumor now that they could actually have an Aubrey Plaza as Mephisto.
Yeah, Chris Pratt is 3 years older than me.
Cool.
Yeah, but Aubrey Plaza as Mephisto, I love that idea. Yeah. It's an interesting choice considering that Legion. She was in Legion as one of his alternate personalities. There we go. I finally did it. Mm. She was in Legion as one of his alternate personalities, and that's Professor X's son, and we're making the X-Men canon to the MCU. So she could technically be playing two MCU characters if they also make her Mephisto. Now, that being said, we do know that Sacha Baron Cohen has already been cast as Mephisto.
That's what they say, but I mean, there could be a quick turnaround, could there be two variants of Mephisto?
Or he just occupies multiple bodies because Mephisto is a shape changer.
This is true. This is very true. So that would make sense. But I think having her character in something that's kind of, you know, comedic anyways in MCU would be great. I love her. She's pretty great.
You know, Ben, the perfect person for the role is the person who doesn't want it, but would embody it perfectly. And I mean, I've got a little mustache gate thing going on right now. I could get a funny Superman lip just like Henry Cavill.
Good CGI that shit.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next on the list. And
Billy, thank you. Thank you for having rather see me as Superman. I appreciate that.
So Tony Stark, as we all know, holds the record for being in the most Marvel or MCU trailers for all the movies. That has been since 2008. And now Fury of Secret Invasion, since it came out, has now broken the record of Tony Stark. And Fury is now in a majority of the trailers than what Tony is. But, you know, I feel like that's not really fair to kind of report on that, considering that Tony's dead. So, I mean, obviously he's going to now. But anyways.
I think that if we get an AI Tony in Ironheart, he has the possibility of catching back up.
It's true. So.
I don't know that Fury is going to survive Secret Invasion.
I don't know. I think it would be a perfect time for them to go ahead and kill his character off if they wanted to. I really do. Especially since it's the one last fight. He's getting older. And, you know, and this goes back to the 90s where, you know, the Skrulls first came in. This could be also his ending story, the way it began.
So. And the current Nick Fury in the comics is Nick Fury Jr. It's actually Nick Fury's son. So there's always the possibility of bringing in a younger Nick Fury to take the eye patch over.
Yep. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. We also in the trailer, we don't know if he's a prisoner or a guard, but we get Nathan Fillion, another great actor. It's from one of Danny's favorite shows, Firefly. So
I love Firefly.
I know.
You said that like I don't love Firefly. I do.
No, wasn't that a going joke a while back about how you?
So when Jared was on the show, him and Nick Beck would talk about how I pretended to love Firefly because they watch it religiously over and over and over again, and they know every single
really
little detail. Variety content entertainment. I don't know if you're a real person or not, but we can talk about this when we're not doing a live show. So anyway, I love Firefly. I'm a big fan. I just, I don't, I don't watch it as religiously as some people, and that's okay. It, so. It's good. You should check it out, or at least watch the movie Serenity. It'll give you most of the big plot points.
Look at Ben's comment.
I saw it. Danny doesn't like Firefly. He doesn't know anything. So Billy, even though he's the fact checker.
You're talking about there's supposed to be a NovaCore movie. So one of the special presentations that's in rumor now is actually supposed to be a Nova movie. So we might get some NovaCore and Nova and the rest of that story maybe in a special presentation if that rumor is true. But as of right now, that's the latest rumor. One of the six special presentations Marvel's working on is a Nova one. So, next on the list, we got a couple left. So Superman Legacy, Gunn made another mention. People's asking, hey, is Jimmy Olsen going to be in the Superman Legacy? And he gave the reply, of course. He is going to be in there. So we got one more little lead, tidbit information of Superman Legacy, not a whole lot. But I feel like we're going to keep getting these little tidbit things, leading up to it. Gunn's really big about, saying things on Twitter and responding to people. So it's our update on that.
Yeah, and I think that if you're going to do a younger Superman story, that it makes sense that you introduce Jimmy Olsen, Superman's best friend, and that he's a part of it. Jimmy Olsen has been an integral part of Superman's stories going back to the 50s. They put him in the original Superman films, but he's really been sorely used since, and so I'm excited. I think that he needs to be more front and center.
And last but not least on the list, something I'm super pumped about. I think you're the one that turned me on to say, hey, you should watch it. Sandman 2. Sandman Season 2. Scripts are now updated on that. Scripts are written, and the sets are being designed. So hopefully we'll be keep some more follow-ups and hear soon a release date of that. So,
Blake, your knowledge is being tested. Who is Dick Ryder?
We've talked about this before.
Yep.
Is it Nova?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
Nova.
So. Look at me.
You did it. Huh. Hasn't even been in an MCU film yet.
Yeah. Sandman. I love that. The season one on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, it's phenomenal. The acting, all every bit of it. I'm super ready for season two.
It's very good. And they did a really good job of staying true to the comic book. And updating it in a good way. And the season definitely left me wanting more. And Neil Gaiman is actually coming to help supervise and write season two. So it can only get better, I think. Barring that the star of the show doesn't start a cult or physically assault anybody.
So many options these days.
I know.
So is there anything on the list that I might not put on there that you think of?
No, I don't think so. I want to respond to Billy. John C. Reilly's character, I believe all of the Nova Corps in the MCU is dead now because Thanos killed them. And I think that's opening up the story to introduce the Nova superhero. So I'm assuming that if we get a Nova Corps in the DC or in the MCU, damn it, I almost said the DCU, in the MCU, that it's going to be more of the Richard Riders and the Sam, I forget his name, Sam, whatever, the teenage Nova, and the other Novas throughout the Marvel canon that actually have the flying abilities and the energy manipulation and all of that.
Nice.
So I think the John C. Reilly Nova officer is dead.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, because that might be where we get we might get another shot at Thanos whenever they go about that story, because they might actually show when he came down to that planet and how he escaped or if he wasn't there or whichever route the MCU might go with that. Ben said Godzilla Kong 2 trailer is incredible. It dropped today. Man, I have not seen that.
I've not seen it either.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. You want to do a watch along?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we'll just hit play at the same time, and we'll watch it.
You looking it up right now?
I'm looking it up.
All right.
Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire? Is it just a teaser? Nope. Yeah, okay. I'm going to take it back to the beginning, and you just let me know when you're ready, Blake.
All right. Which one are you watching?
Huh?
Which one are you watching?
Let's see. It is the IGN one.
All right, I'm ready when you are.
All right. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Picks up where it left off of.
A lot of dead bodies.
It is.
Oh, shit. It's King Kong and Godzilla skulls. Well, then what was the new empire?
Yeah, remember, that's actually that, how it ended, was with him sitting on that stone or that.
Well, that's you can tell by the arms, that's not a gorilla, that's an orangutan.
Huh.
So it seems like
you think that version kills Kong and Godzilla, and it's the new.
I would go so far as to say I don't think it's actually going to kill either of them. Uh-huh. I think that is a dramatic representation of what could happen. Oh yeah, look at that face. Yeah, that's an orangutan. You can tell by the orange.
It has an orange glow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot. Yeah.
Ben, do you mind checking from the King Kong universe? Has there ever been an orangutan kaiju?
Yeah, I think Billy's right. It's King Louie, you know, coming from the Jungle Book.
Maybe
him on steroids.
What's up, Martha? Thanks for joining.
Well, let me go ahead and finish this up, or are we going to wait on
what he's going to say? No, go for it.
All right, that's this week on Rumor Mill. These rumors have been milled.
So, Blake, the Mandalorian season finale dropped today. You've seen it, and I have not.
Did.
If you've not seen it, this would be your spoiler alert, your one and only.
So it's so good that, all right, when Mandalorian first came out, super pumped that, you know, I wanted to make a Mandalorian suit.
We're going to have Deontay join us for our top five here in just a second.
All right. And then everybody started cosplaying Mandalorians. Everybody. And real quick, after we went to so many cons and you just seen so many people wearing them, I'm like, it's cool. Don't get me wrong, it's cool. But I'm not worried about it. It's kind of, you know, an overcrowded market now on cons. This episode literally initialized my wanting to have now a Mandalorian cosplay. And I am back on wanting to build one. Man, it was so good. And to see that many Mandalorians fighting, and like the fighting, the battle scene was good. The Moff Gideon, we all thought that we seen Snoke's being attempted to be cloned. They were all Moff Gideon clones.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. And Moff Gideon, reason why he was cloning himself is because he says he feels like, I think he said he felt like he had everything and he needed in power in the universe except for the Force. And cloning himself and getting, you know, blood and stuff from Grogu would give him a version of him with the Force. And
Ben, you know, you'd make a great Mando. You'd be super tall. Anyway.
Yeah. Literally, man, I don't know. The whole episode, it was a lot. There's a lot going on, but I think it worked. And then just seeing Moff Gideon's Mandalorian outfit, which was mechanically powered, and the way he sit there and just crushed Bo-Katan's hand along the black saber and ruined it. I mean, like, oh yeah, crushed in her hand, like just crushed her hand with the
dark saber.
Dark saber in it.
You destroyed the. I gotta watch this,
dude. It's intense. It's so good, and you know, we get IG-11 put back together at the very end as the new marshal for, I can't remember what that planet or that town is called, that Carl Weathers is on.
Yeah,
but, man, I don't know. I could carry Blake on my hip as my Grogu. I guess I'll start working on my Grogu cosplay instead then.
Navarro, thank you, Deontay. What I would like to do is the IG-12 droid suit with a little Grogu. Mando. Yeah.
Dude, that's great. That would be cool.
Yeah, that I bet we'll see so a lot sick. Of those. I bet we'll see a lot of those Chicago.
It'd be cool just to build one to have by our booth.
I agree. That would be cool.
That would be sick. It just has a prop to take pictures with.
I could probably make it happen pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get stuff to do it, so.
It's true.
But, man, this whole episode was great. It was great. you freaking have the guy, her right-hand man, or I guess you call right-hand man, the guy she took, you know, back to lead from, that takes his helmet off. He sat there and took their main ship and just crashed it right into the main base. I'm not going to lie, I thought he was going to pull Captain America at first and kind of go down with the ship. Then last minute, he blew out that window and flew out. Man, it was just a lot. It was great. We get to see he adopts Grogu as his son because she's like, oh, he's a youngling. He can't be an apprentice because he still can't speak. And he's like, yeah, but if his parents say he can, then we can. She's like, yeah, but his parents may not even be alive, or they may be so far off we don't know where they're at. And he's like, well, then I adopt him. And so now he's Din Grogu. That is what they named him. And he is now an apprentice.
That's so cool. I honestly cannot wait to see him in his tiny little Mandalorian armor doing tiny little Mandalorian.
I wonder if they're ever going to give him one or not. I don't know.
Din Grogu's next level. He felt that mythosaur down there.
Yeah. So, yeah, they actually go down and show the mythosaur, and he kind of opens his eyes when Grogu's at the top of the water, kind of like you could tell he's feeling something with the force, and it kind of opens, and then you see that with a big tusk on it, and then you're like, oh, okay, you know, that mythosaur, you know, and all their stuff. I mean, like, oh, it looks so good.
Billy, if you're still in the chat, do you know if it's ever been established that mythosaurs are force-sensitive or not? Because if they're force-sensitive creatures, then... I mean, it's definitely possible he could just reach out to him with the force.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was good. It's great. I'm probably going to watch it again tonight. I'm not even going to lie.
I'll finish watching it for sure. And
there was not a lull moment at all in this whole episode.
Well, that's exciting. Speaking of not having low moments, that's something you don't want in your sports events. And today for top five, we're discussing top five fictional sporting events.
Yes. I'm excited.
Welcome to Top 5. So we are discussing top 5 fictional sports. I would say fantasy sports, but that really muddies the water because everybody will be looking up their fantasy sports teams. While Landon is getting Deontay added to the stream, we will kind of go over some rules. It's going to be from literally any form of media. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's, you know, not real life. You can get it from books, video games, television, movies, comic books,
everything
whole shebang.
But real life.
Any pop culture or media. So, Blake, would you do me a favor and give us your number five?
I will. And don't judge me by saying this, but my number five... Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's a pretty dangerous sport to be a part of.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it's kind of twisted and morbid, and obviously you don't want Hunger Games for the movie, but man, it's still kind of sick. Like, it, I don't know. I love those movies, so I had to put this on there as well. Hunger Games is, you know, it's the people where they two tributes from each faction. I think that's where they called it, factions or districts. Districts, I'm sorry. Factions is...
a volunteer's tribute.
Yeah. But anyways, it's two people from each district go in battle of survival of the fittest. See who wins. They decided, you know, to twist it up and try to make two survive at the end and take down the... Donald Sutherland. Can't remember his name on there, but yeah. Take down Donald Sutherland and let the districts take back over and not be ruled and... kind of imprisoned, really enslaved. So it's a great, great, great movie. Not the best game, but
there's the man himself, Deontay. Welcome to the show.
What's going on?
Glad to have you, brother.
Glad to see you guys back in business.
Oh, yeah, feels good.
Absolutely. We just took a short break. Just had to catch our breath after AnimeCon.
Oh yeah, you guys deserve that break for sure.
Well, I spent a week laying on the beach, so
yeah, I saw the pictures of them too. I loved it. Yes.
Thank you. Even my white ass legs, I bet.
Hey, so, it's better than red ass legs. Let me tell you.
Yeah, Mr. Third Degree Burns from the beach over there.
Yeah, going through it.
Yeah. So Deontay, what do you got as your number five?
I would say Quidditch would be, you said sports team or just
sport? Just any sport.
Yeah, I'll go with Quidditch for number five.
Okay, Quidditch from the Harry Potter universe. And as far as fictional sports go, I think that's probably one of the top ones that people would be familiar with. Quidditch is kind of everywhere.
Yeah, it's like my freebie for sure. I'm going to like work on the other four as we speak.
Okay. I'm watching Landon try to update the graphics with your choices, and he was just like, okay, never mind. All right, what do we got in chat?
I guess Katrina Stewart's number five is Wizard Chess.
Ah, yes. We're not going to discuss that because it may or may not be on my list.
It is. Shivam Patel's number five is Hunger Games as well.
Shivam in the chat, dead ass fan. I missed you, bro.
Hell, he's been asking me for the past 2 weeks. He's like, where's the podcast? He's like, listen, because he missed our last podcast we did.
He's 3 weeks out.
Yeah, so then he was like, hey, I missed a podcast. And I'm like, oh, we're not doing one this week. You know, we had AnimeCon stuff and then vacation. And yeah.
That's that ain't Trill, I'll tell you that. And you know, if it ain't Trill, it ain't me.
No, sir. No, sir.
No, sir. No cap.
Dead ass.
Dead ass. Landon, what's next, my guy?
Dead ass, bro.
Trilly Rhodes, number five is Rollerball from Rollerball.
Yeah.
Only slightly less violent than the Hunger Games.
So there's Rollerball. And then what was the other movie that predates Rollerball that is exactly Rollerball? They like completely remade it and then just renamed it Rollerball.
Rollerball's from the 70s, isn't it? A movie from the 70s?
Is it?
Yeah. Because
they made a newer one. It was the same movie, but they called it something different. I'm trying to think of what that was. We'll come up with it later. I'm sure Billy knows. What else we got?
Ben Stewart's number five is Jumanji.
Oh, I cannot believe I didn't think about that.
That's a good one. It's a game.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a fictional game.
Yeah.
We did say sports. If you don't consider Jumanji a sport, you weren't watching the same movie I was watching.
They were going through it.
That is an active board game.
I guess
when you
have somebody chasing you with a gun, that's sporting. So
yeah. What else we got?
I think Martha Burden's number five is Red Light, Green Light.
Okay. Squid Games.
Squid Games.
Yeah. Dude, Squid Games could be a top five all by itself.
I have not watched that.
You're missing out, bro. That show is so good.
Really?
Kenpachi Zaraki's number five is Motorball from Alita Battle Angel.
Ooh. And it's great to be able to put a face to Kenpachi now.
Yeah.
We know what the man looks like.
Yeah. I will tell you this, he's far less Japanese than I assumed he was going to be.
It's true.
Yeah.
Motorball is Alita Battle Angel. That's a good one. I'm not even going to lie. When I was watching that movie, and I'm ready for the second movie of that. But Motorball is pretty sick.
Yeah. That's incredible, Blake, because that's based on an anime.
Oh, yeah. See, I do like anime.
Finally.
I've been telling y'all this whole time.
Finally.
We got him converted.
Something anime related that Blake's a fan of.
Hey, Danny led me on to, you know, actually starting to read some comics. So, you know, I'm just waiting for him to lead me to the right anime to pick me up on it. So,
yeah. I bet that Cowboy Bebop would be right up your alley.
Ooh.
I bet you would just love Cowboy Bebop. It's got a killer soundtrack. It's about bounty hunters in space trying to. Yes. It's so good. It's
that
so
does
good.
Sound good.
You would don't watch the Netflix movie or the Netflix series with live action. Watch the anime. It's so much better.
Okay.
Yeah, that and Trigun. You'll love Trigun too.
I bet you'd really like Trigun too. That's a Western.
Heck yeah.
Oh, Samurai Champloo is that's there's another one with a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's like the spiritual predecessor to Cowboy Bebop.
Huh.
I would say. Okay, my number five from the Teen Titans cartoon series, not Teen Titans Go. That show is garbage. Stankball. It is a game that Beast Boy and Cyborg played where they took a big smelly ball of garbage and threw it at each other. It's very similar to Dodgeball, but way grosser. love me some stank ball.
Tony Stank. Is there Tony Stank here?
Blake, how about your number four?
Number four. So I'm not even sure what this game is, but all I know is you always let the Wookiee win. So Dejarik, you know, it's cool. It's a hologram table. You know, it's got some black and white stuff on it, but you get, I don't know if it's like a chess type, you know, space chess version type thing. But yeah, I don't know. That'd be so cool to have that table set up in the hologram set. And they sit there and you watch them, you know, make the moves when you calculate them in on your buttons. So yeah, Dejarik.
Yeah, the that yeah, you always let the Wookiee win because he'll literally rip your arms off.
Yeah,
and yeah, been ranked top three anime for 20 years. That is correct, Ben.
What has been?
Cowboy Bebop.
Really, it's 20 years old.
Maybe he's talking about Battle Angel Alita. I'm not sure. It's okay. He'll tell us. But yeah.
We used to play stank ball.
We did. I would you so in Teen Titans it was trash. In our household it was dirty diapers after I had changed the kids. Yeah. And I'd say stank ball and I'd whip it at Ben.
Hey, something about Cowboy Bebop, you said.
Yeah. It's been around for a long time.
Dang.
Splat him yeah. Right in the
I'll
face.
Send you a link.
All right.
You can check it out.
Thank you.
Cool. Deontay, what do you got as your number four?
I'm going to go classic with Celebrity Deathmatch.
Oh, yeah.
I'll count that one.
Yeah, hell yeah. Count it.
For real. That's always a good time. Good laugh. Yeah,
that is all over the place. I remember just like it rode that wave of like Clay Fighters being so popular for a while. Are you guys familiar with Clay Fighters from Super Nintendo?
I have not.
I'm not.
Oh, so that's funny. It is a Street Fighter type fighting game, except that you play as claymation characters like a snowman. They're all kind of like in, you know, you would think of them as cutesy characters, and they're not. They're hard as can be. And Clay Fighters was a blast to play.
Huh.
That sounds. Is it gory?
It's a little gory. Yeah, it can be. It's a. Yes. Yeah, check it out. Just go look for it.
I'll check
Clay
it out.
Clay Fighters. The controls are identical to Street Fighter.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cool. Landy, what we got in chat?
Billy Rhodes, number four is Basketball from Basketball.
I knew that was going to get mentioned.
I love playing basketball. That is a fun game. And the movie is hilarious. Like, Trey Park and Matt Stone, like, make a movie and just knock it out of the park. Like, can they fail at anything? They turned a birthday card into one of the most popular cartoon series of all time ever. You know, if you haven't seen The Book of Mormon, they then wrote one of the most popular Broadway musicals of all time ever. And then Basketball, the most popular fake sports movie probably ever.
That came out in the 90s, didn't it?
No, it was like 2000.
Oh, was it?
Was it? No, it might have been like 99. I'm not sure.
Hey, Ben, find out.
Might have been like 96, 97, now that I'm thinking about it. It might have been came out while I was still in high school. Are the races from Speed Racer eligible? Yes, Shivam, and we'll read that as that. What else you got, Landy?
Katrina Stewart's number four is Vampire Baseball from Twilight.
Ooh, sparkly baseball players. Yay.
Shiny. Real shiny.
Ben Stewart's number four is Pod Racing.
Yep, go on. Keep going.
Oh, that may be on somebody else's list. And yeah, dude, the races from Speed Racer absolutely count. Those the tracks in Speed Racer are nuts. So that you know they couldn't exist in the real world.
And I believe that is all.
Oh, dude, and Cannibal the Musical and Orgasmo. If you haven't seen Orgasmo, that movie is hilarious.
Ooh.
It's really good. So that's another one by Trey Park and Matt Stone, where he gets this guy wants to be a superhero, and he gets a cannon that he mounts on his hand, and whenever he fires it at people, it causes him to orgasm, and that's his superpower.
Yes.
It's so funny.
Yes.
It's so funny. He becomes a porn star.
Whoa.
What makes the baseball vampiric? Well, they jump really high and they run really fast. And I don't know. They use vampire powers, basically. My number four from a little world known as Mario World, Mario Kart Racing. Yes. Who doesn't love the Rainbow Road and who doesn't hate Bowser's Castle? Or all the ghost levels in Mario Kart suck. Why did you put F-Zero?
Because nobody remembers F-Zero.
I love F-Zero. There was F-Zero and then F-Zero 64. They were both good racing games. Anyway. Blake, you're number three. Landon isn't going to defend his choice.
Since nobody's had this on the list yet, pod racing. Man.
Nice.
I know episode one's not the most loved, you know, Star Wars, nothing like that, for multiple reasons. But I was young when that came out, and as a young kid, I enjoyed it at that moment. But pod racing to me is one of those things to this day that I think that was good that came out of that episode, besides Darth Maul. Man, pod racing is just so cool. And I collected the pod racing toys as they came out through Hasbro. And I just I could always remember just always wishing that that was a real thing. So, yeah, pod racing.
Yeah, dude. And there was a pod racing video game that they came out with after episode one that was really good. It was a lot of fun to play. The racing was a blast.
And dude, Sebulba, even though he was bad, like that's a badass looking pod racer that he had.
Absolutely.
With the big wing, the small wing coming out here with his cockpit in the back. Like, yeah, it's just cool. I love pod racing. And like when the toys, you actually had like a handle to grab the middle where like that energy charge would be. And there would always be buttons there, and either it would spin the turbines on your pod racer, or like Anakin's, the wings would, you know, expand out on the front. Or the deflectors, but yeah.
Yeah. So Landon, Billy's saying he loves the prequels. Do you want to defend your decision to sarcastically say that the pod racers were the best movie, or do you actually feel that?
Landon. I mean, I was real, real young. They came out before I was even born. What? So. Yeah.
Episode one came out before you were born?
Yeah. I was a junior in high school when episode one came out.
I was born in 2000, Blake.
Oh, wow.
What?
I did not know you were that young.
I'm 23 years old, and I was born in the year 2000.
Man.
That math works out. He was born the same year in high school.
So.
Yeah. I was class of 2000. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Oh man.
Anyway, further on down the list.
Number trace.
No, we still have don't we still have choices in the people's
Oh no, we're on number three. It should be Deontay's turn.
Okay.
Deontay's number three.
Sorry, I got lost.
Oh, it's all good. I'm probably gonna borrow Mario Kart just for this one. And go with the Rainbow Road and all the different maps and shooting off blue turtles to make your friends hate you.
Yeah. Mario Kart really didn't get good till probably the GameCube, though. Oh, no, 64. Mario Kart 64 is probably peak Mario Kart, I think.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, the end of a lot of friendships, too.
Speaking of age, we have an old man in the chat. Old man in the chat. Kenpachi, he's 50. You whippersnappers, get off my lawn.
But I just want you to notice me, senpai. Wow, congrats on graduating kindergarten. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, so we have anything in the chat?
Oh, we do. We have a bunch of options and things in the chat.
Trina Stewart's number three is Sugar Rush. From Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Disney's version of Mario Kart.
Yeah, honestly.
And a real game that you can actually play now.
Yep.
Yeah. Good times, though.
I love Wreck-It Ralph.
Me too. I haven't seen the second one yet.
It's okay. It's good still, but it's still nothing like the first one.
All right.
Kenpachi's Zaraki's number three, Jousting from the video game Joust.
It's called a Lance. Hello.
That is from that was an arcade cabinet, I believe, originally. And then was it Sega Genesis is where Joust was first brought to consoles?
Oh no.
It's okay. Somebody'll say something in chat.
Billy Rhodes number three is Cyberball. It was a Nintendo game that was football but with robots.
Yeah, and that one was fun, and there was also one that was baseball, but with robots. And you, if there was a tie on any plate, you had to fight Mortal Kombat style, and then the winner got to be either safe or the other person was out.
Huh.
Shivam Patel's number three is Ready Player One.
Dude, hell yeah.
Oh, man. Nostalgic sports at its finest.
You adding Ready Player One makes me really sad that I didn't put Sword Art Online in mine. Because I would have, that's one I would love to do.
Yeah. I've had that on my list for a couple things since we've had the podcast. I absolutely love that movie. We skipped Ben's number three, I think, didn't we?
Oh.
Yes. Sorry about that, Ben. Ben's number three is Light Cycle Racing.
And that is from Tron.
Tron.
Yes.
I knew that.
The original Tron, I loved it. Growing up as a kid, I watched Tron over and over and over again. I just thought that was the coolest thing, that they were in like a really high-tech, incredible computer environment, and like they were living in there, and it was awesome. And then like when the newer Tron came out, it was like, wow, that computer system did not age well. It is not as futuristic as I would have thought.
I believe that's it from chat.
My number three is Wizard Chest from Harry Potter. Chess by itself, fun. Chess, whenever you get to ride giant pieces and watch them fight, and you got to physically be parts of the game.
What you're talking about. I've seen that part.
Yeah,
that's pretty sick.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Ron sacrifices himself. It's a whole thing. But yeah, dude, I couldn't imagine actually getting to be a chess piece in a living chess game.
That would be sick.
Although I guess being a living chess piece in a chess game is like being an actual soldier in actual war. So I don't know, kind of the same thing. Blake, do you want to give us your number two?
I do. So this is a movie called Nerve. And there was a game to where you have your helmet, you put your visor on, and it's a dare game. Like, so if you enter in this game, every time you do a dare, you have so much time to get it done. And if you don't do it, I can't remember if they kill you or something, but like you're on a race to get these dares done. And you have so much time to do it, or you could get killed. I could be wrong. Or they're like really dangerous to where you could be killed. But then you keep upping your money. And it's an entertaining movie to watch. But yeah, it's called Nerve. And I don't know if they actually had a name, but I'm going to call it Dare Racing because it was nothing but them on a motorcycle constantly speeding back and forth doing these crazy stuff with money.
And I've never seen this. Deontay, what's the anime where they use the headsets that are called Nerve Gear? Is that Attack on Titan?
The scouts have something. I can't remember what they call it, but they have to fuel it up. And
yeah, I don't. It doesn't matter. But I was just kind of thinking, like, I wonder if that was kind of stolen.
Y'all should watch the movie.
Ben, the cursed wizard chess. Yes, I get it. But if one set exists in the Harry Potter universe, then yeah. Is it okay? It's Sword Art. Thank you. I was kind of thinking that, but I didn't want to bring up Sword Art twice in a row if I was wrong. But anyway, there's got to be more examples of chess games where you have to actually fill in that spot. Otherwise, somebody wouldn't have created the one that they had in Sorcerer's Stone. So, I don't know.
Deontay, number two.
I'm kind of a Twisted Metal fan, so I love those very violent races that they have going on, and the different options of characters that you could choose from and terrorize your friends with.
So yeah, that whole genre of racing and fighting at the same time, like Twisted Metal and Vigilante 8, that was a time in video games that was really, really cool. I really, really enjoyed that. Twisted Metal Black still sticks in my mind as one of my favorite games of all time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ben. That's EDM gear. Thank you. EDM I appreciate gear. That. Okay. Do we have any other number twos? Yes, carry on.
Kenpachi Zaraki's number two is Jousting as Heath Ledger in First Night.
Knight's Tale, Kenpachi. Knight's Tale. First Night is Richard Gere, I think. Anyway, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Best night movie ever.
We've actually, I believe, 2 weeks ago in our last episode, we're talking about Knight's Tale.
Probably
previously, because
we were both talking about how we both watched it too much growing up.
I love that movie so much.
Yes. Yeah, we mentioned the you have been found wanting, and then yeah. You said the rest of the deal. Yeah.
You've been weighed, you have been measured. You have been absolutely positively found wanting, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Ah, such a great movie.
It is a great movie. Any number twos? Yeah, we still got more.
Billy Rhodes, number two, is Dodge or Dare from The Amazing World of Gumball.
Okay. Are you familiar with this game, Landon?
I am.
What is it?
Dodge or Dare is it's a game where you roll dice and you go forward on a board, typical to like a Candyland or something like that. But if you land on a dare space, you have to pull a dare from like a deck of cards that has dares written on them. But the dares can be anything from you have a gremlin head growing from your head and you have to deal with it until the game's over, to all oxygen is removed from your area and you can't breathe until the game is over. Damn, so it's more like curses instead of actual dares.
Huh.
And you get those curses if you don't complete the dares. And the dares can be anything from try to wear all the clothes in the house to run around the neighborhood in your underwear or something like that.
Huh. I have to say this real quick. I love if there's something me or Danny don't know, Landon always does. Always. Clutch. Like I just love that.
That's super clutch. And then you got Ben in the comments.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's the great thing about having a fact checker just hanging around too. The Knight's Tale. And then we got a couple of number twos left still.
Yes. Shivan Patel's number two is any Batman Arkham series.
He does some Batmobile racing in there, so I guess that kind of counts.
Ben Stewart's number two is Mortal Kombat.
Get John Bone Jones in there. John Jones, a bad man.
Mm-hmm. Katrina Stewart's number two is Sword Art Online. This was on my list before Danny brought it up twice in a row.
That's funny. But yeah, dude, a world where you get to go into a fantasy world and fight with swords and abilities, powers, all of that, and get to live it. It's incredible. That's the level of 3D that I want video games to get to someday, where I just get to embody the character and have all of their abilities.
That would be sick.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, getting trapped in it and actually dying because you're wearing the headset, not so much, but yeah. The idea is really cool.
Minor setback. Ben's number two, he's got an actual number two now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to like it. My number two is actually Blitzball from Final Fantasy X.
We can talk about that whenever we get to it, Ben. Yeah.
And I believe that's all the number twos. Yes, I think so.
He's the only one that knows Fallout stuff. That is true. Landon is our Fallout guy. Faux show. I've played like 5 minutes of one of those games. My number two is Jala from the Sword of Truth series. It's basically a much more violent version of rugby, where the ball is heavy enough that you can throw it hard enough to kill people with it if you can get a headshot. And they wear spiked armor, and it is incredibly brutal. And it is their test of what a man is supposed to be like. You got to survive a Jala match. Crazy.
So only men can be in it, not women?
Yeah, it's specifically a game for men in this world, which is a medieval setting. So
Makes sense.
It's a little more archaic than our current society, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Blake,
that sounds fun though.
Are you ready?
I am.
To give us your number one. Your number one, Blake, please.
No, actually, I didn't mind hearing that since it's been about 2 weeks.
You know,
I left the headphones on just to hear that all the way through.
Good friend Ron Hernandez said that at AnimeCon, from the panel room to the whole other end of the building where the video game setup is, he heard me do that.
And you had no mic.
And I was not mic'd when I did it. That's nuts. That is nuts. Over all those people, he still heard me.
Nope. Man, I know a lot of my games include death, but Man, my number one's Death Race, the movie with Jason Statham, Ian McShane. That's just a sick, gnarly thing to watch too.
You like seeing people dead? I get it.
No. I think I mean everything but that part, I guess. But man, just building those gnarly cars and with all these contraptions and these weapons and stuff on them, and just the I don't know, that whole movie is sick. I never watched the second one because they didn't carry on the same cast, but. yeah, Death Race, man. It would be fun to see it and people pretend got killed, you know.
yeah. Who doesn't love to see some corpses and flaming cars? Deontay, your number two or your number one, please.
For now, I'm gonna go with
I mean, for now, the list is over.
That's true. I'm gonna have to make a trade off a little bit later, but temporarily.
Maybe he'll do a pull of Ben. Actually, my number one from earlier was. Yeah.
We'll be in the middle of talking about something else.
It's the War World arc that Superman had to be in with Mongrel.
Yes.
Okay. I'll consider that as a sport if it, no objections.
No objections, because it's a battle sport, and and we had a plenty of those on the list elsewhere.
Yeah,
I wish that would be like a live action adaptation of that arc.
I could see that being one of the James Gunn adaptations. One of the Superman stories we get to is some of those lesser known villains that haven't appeared on screen yet, like Mongol.
And he's good about putting those on screen, so
yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is.
And making it work.
All right, Landy, what do we got in the chat?
Katrina Stewart's number one is Drop Ball Adventure Time.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good time. That's a good time.
I've watched a lot of Adventure Time, but I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do love. I love Adventure Time too. Landy, as you were.
Kenpachi Zaraki's number one is World Racing Grand Prix from Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds.
Yeah, finally getting some Yu-Gi-Oh! Representation on this show. It's been too long. You know, Kenpachi's probably the only Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan we have in the chat.
Probably. That was actually my number one.
Oh!
I totally forgot and just went with War World. And,
yeah.
But Yu-Gi-Oh!
There we go. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Except the fact that I used to get my ass handed to me as a kid. I loved the game and collecting all these different cards. I had like a book full of them, and kids in my neighborhood would befriend me so they could steal them. And it's just like, you can make a lot of money off of selling
those damn kids.
I'm stealing shit.
Get off Kenpachi's lawn.
Damn kids and their meddling dog.
We got away with it too.
What Kenpachi is referencing specifically with the world racing part is that in 5Ds, they had this thing called, I think it was called speed duels, where they're essentially duelists on motorcycles just driving down the street and dueling at the same time.
Huh.
And they had like specific spells called speed spells for these duels. There was nothing different about them besides the fact that they were marked as speed spells. Like, they were just the same as regular spells, but they're meant for that. But in this one, it was a whole grand race where they would go around on like a NASCAR sort of track and just duel and race at the same time.
Okay. That's okay.
Great. Intense.
And what part of that was Egyptian?
This was post Egypt.
Oh, okay. Katrina explained what drop ball was, and I do remember this. I just couldn't remember the name connected to it. But yeah, they would pick up balls with their butt cheek and then have to climb or walk over the top of a bucket and drop it. That was the whole sport.
Good old drop ball.
Good old drop ball.
Them cheeks.
Kenpachi has a addendum. Or jousting with the mountain from Game of Thrones.
No. That's a terrible idea. He killed a guy and then killed his horse. That's a... No, thank you. I'm out.
Ben Stewart's number one is, and I know this is actually everyone's number one, Duel Monsters, Yu-Gi-Oh! We all thought we'd be having more impromptu duels from our enemies.
And kids and kids with bowl cuts and I don't know. Where are Yugi's parents? That's my question.
Ben's like, also got a 1B.
Yeah. Did we do Billy Rhodes one?
No, I was going to do that next.
Okay.
Billy Rhodes, number one, is Pyramid from Battlestar Galactica 2004. It was grounded in reality, and things that can actually exist, I typically dig more.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, Battlestar was that was a more like grounded down to earth version of like your spacefaring adventure stuff, so I get it.
Ben Stewart's 1B is the Dice Monster game from Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, see, I didn't know that anybody else in the chat was a fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! So that's incredible. That's
like three people in there.
Good to know. Good to know. Ben, I'm a competitive card game player. He actually is. He was ranked pretty high for, and I don't know where his rank is now. Ben, what are you ranked in MGC now? You can answer that at your leisure.
Shivan Patel's number one is Gladiator.
Yeah, being a gladiator, that's a, although I will say, Shivam, it was supposed to be sports that don't actually exist, and that is a real thing. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm not upset. I'm going to let it slide this time because I know that you're the trillest. It's going to be all good. Keep no cap, fam. Dead ass.
I think that's it for number ones.
Ben's, I'm not currently Magic the Gathering.
I had kids.
Yeah. That's true. But he was, I want to say you were ranked like 80th or something in.
Oh, wow.
Like local contest or something along those lines. He'll let us know. Anyway, we got anything else in chat?
No, I believe that's it.
My number one is a game of aquatic soccer from the Final Fantasy world called Blitzball, Final Fantasy X specifically. And it is one of the most infuriating video game things that you will ever have to do until you get kind of good at it. And then it turns incredibly fun to play because, just like everything else, Final Fantasy, they went way too effing hard on this one fictional video, game sport, and it's got full on rules, play and everything. Crazy. But anyway, that's my number one. Deontay, you ever you play a lot of Final Fantasy?
It's been years since I've touched that. I think the last one I've played was 10 probably.
Yeah, 10 was probably the last one I played all the way through. I did play the remaster of Final Fantasy 7 a little bit, but I never finished it. And Final Fantasy 10, Ben and I took turns playing through the game, and we got to the final guy, the final boss. And we had not leveled our characters correctly, and it is impossible with the game we have to win. And we tried it like 90 to 100 times in a row, and then we just gave up, and we never picked it back up.
It just retired right there on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he was so good at Blitzball and so bad at finishing the game. That's why. We could not. Our characters had none of the right things to like none of the right summons, none of the right spells, none of the right abilities in the right places in order to be able to finish the game. So we just never finished it.
Just going in raw, basically.
Yeah. Katrina, I was considering putting Chocobo Racing on this. No, yeah, we went in raw. We went in raw dogging that boss, and it did not turn out in our favor. Yeah, we got the Final Fantasy equivalent of AIDS. We died terribly multiple times. We made very poor choices. We were blind from syphilis and died of AIDS. Video game AIDS, obviously, not real AIDS.
This is a force ghost of Danny, actually.
But anyway, that has been our top five for this week. Next week, we are going to do top five. I don't know. I don't have anything. Deontay, you got any ideas?
Not yet.
Okay, cool. You just let us know sometime later if you got any ideas. Blake, anything on your head?
Man, I'm trying right now, but not off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, anyway, this has been Top 5.
You know, after 2 years, you think that we would have been playing this, but to this day, we still just do it off the top of our head. Every once in a while, I think Danny actually has like a list of things, but then
it's like, I had 2 weeks this time to come up with something, and I did not. And
we always forget.
I thought of it near the end of this list.
Top 5 turtles. I only have a top 4.
Yeah. What, you're leaving Venus de Milo off the list? For shame. For shame, Ben. Top 5 superpowers you wish your significant other had. Okay.
What if you don't have a significant other?
Yeah.
Your fantasy significant other who doesn't exist.
There's not even a fantasy anymore.
Yeah, okay. Me and Blake are disqualified.
Yeah. Stay tuned next week, top 5, where Danny is going solo on this.
So are you saying you don't want to do a top 5 superpowers you wish a significant other could have?
Let's play around with it. maybe not.
I mean, I'll play around with my significant other. I don't mind. Let's do – okay, so I'm going to do – let's go with Billy's first attempt or first recommendation and top 5 favorite background characters. So this is not a main character. Not a main character.
Yeah.
Not a favorite character.
Not a secondary.
A background character.
But like a fourth or fifth.
Somebody that just did not get their moment in the sun, you know, but should have.
I like that. That's a good one.
I like it. That's a really great one, Billy. I appreciate that. So next week, top 5 favorite background characters. Did you already play the top 5 exit?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I should have known that. We've have the different background. Cool. So let's see. We talked Mandalorian. We talked top 5. It's kind of it for the week, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We've already mentioned Cowboys and Campers.
Yeah. We've got our events coming up, Cowboys and Camping on June 3rd and 4th. Deontay, you planning on attending the Cowboy Convention?
I'm getting a hat just for this occasion.
I love it. Hell I actually already have the hat I'm going to be wearing. Hold on. I'm going to go grab it.
And just so anybody knows, it's not just Cowboys. It's anything outdoor, whether it be farm and ranch, whether it be equipment, whether it be, literally anything outdoors. Sports, boats, campers, RVs, side-by-sides. Practically anything outdoors, and it's kind of in touch with, you know, the heartland of where we're at. So we're going to have a chainsaw artist. We're going to have a mechanical bull. We're going to have some great food trucks. We're going to have 4-H J. Smith from Yellowstone signing autographs, doing meet and greets, taking pictures. We're going to have local vendors. We'll have alcohol vendors there. We're going to have Flatlands Music is providing live music and performances the whole weekend. So we're going to have Jared Yump performing on Saturday right now. So we've got listed Julia Watkins, who is coming to perform her violin on stilts, dressed in a theme as a saloon girl. And then Jesse Hammack, formerly known from Powder Mill, will also be performing on Sunday. And we've got one or two maybe more lineups to release that we haven't announced yet, but those will be coming soon, probably within the next week.
Do you like a hat?
I love the hat.
Hey, kind of tilt down.
It's got the snakeskin band.
I was gonna say it reminds me of somebody from Louisiana wearing that hat. Actually, Louisiana, yeah, Cajun.
I could probably fold the sides up a little, be like a dungaree hat. Yeah.
How good's your accent?
What, like a Louisiana accent?
Yeah.
The best I can do is like the gambit. Like,
I was going to say, give us your gambit accent. That's exactly what I was about to say. Cup,
then I throw it. But it's not good. It's real bad. It's probably about as good as my Australian accent.
I enjoy it.
I let's throw another shrimp on the barbie. So, yeah, that's me.
Blake, do you have a hat?
I'm sorry.
Blake, do you have a hat ready to go?
I have to dig mine out. I haven't worn mine in a while. So, yeah. Yeah, I used to have a bull riding hat. I had a Stetson hat, and then I had a brown felt hat and a black felt hat. So, yeah, I had to dig them back in storage.
So, Billy, I watch Star Trek. I'm a Star Trek fan, just to answer your question. I have been out of the loop of Star Trek for a while, but I do love Star Trek. Let's see. I saw another one in there. Favorite poisons, I think, would be a great list to do. I don't know. I guess cinematic poisons or like things that were used in. I don't know. What kind of poisons are you talking about? Danny has watched two episodes. thank you, Ben.
He said, "Was that Keith Urban?"
Strangely enough, Ben knows me better than almost anybody in the world, and just loves to give this disinformation about
me. You do like top five fictional diseases, maybe.
Ooh, like the T virus.
The T virus.
A good one.
Whatever, cordyceps.
Whatever that thing was that killed Goku in the Cell Saga.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that has been us for this week. Deontay, did you plug your show?
I will right now for sure.
Run it.
So this Saturday is going to be episode 4 of the Saturday Night Nerds live streaming podcast. We got a lot of topics to cover this weekend, and it'll be our first episode back since Cape Anime. And we'll be covering Super Mario Brothers, Dungeons and Dragons, Mandalorian. And we will also try to squeeze in the Power Rangers 30-year anniversary movie on Netflix. So we got a lot to cover this Saturday. So nice. We'll see you guys there at 6:30 p.m. Central. And we should have a pretty stacked team of hosts together.
It's going to be a great episode.
Sorry, Billy. If you suggested diseases and I laughed at you, I apologize. It is a great idea. I don't know what I was on that night. So I apologize.
Speaking of that, Danny, have you seen Dungeons and Dragons or Super Mario Brothers?
I haven't seen Super Mario Brothers yet. I watched Dungeons and Dragons in Myrtle Beach.
That's right. Dungeons and Dragons is great. It was so really hilarious. Like, yeah. I'm already ready for the second one.
Yes, I'm. The great thing about Dungeons and Dragons is that it literally is just a campaign of Dungeons and Dragons. That's exactly what it's like to play
D&D. Oh, really?
Yeah, that is exactly what it's like to play D&D. If you're watching, as you're watching the movie, if you're a fan of D&D and you've played it before, you know that like they rolled like a 7 on that, or that was a crit fail, or that was a nat 20, you know, like you can kind of read what it is that that they were playing. Austin Lips joins the chat. I love D&D. Haven't seen the movie. I'm ashamed. You got to watch it, Austin. You got to go watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a casual, and I can tell you that was top tier movie for me.
Yeah, and Kimpachi says you can go to the drive-in this weekend and catch it if you want. So go do that. If that's a great way to watch it, get two movies for one.
Yep. Or Marcus Theater.
Or you can always go to Marcus.
Or Malco.
Yes, there is math, a bunch of bad improv, and terrible and acting with terrible fake accents. Absolutely. That's 100% what the D&D movie's like. It's definitely better than the Dungeons and Dragons TV series whenever I was a kid. That was way, way further off from being an actual D&D adventure. But yeah. So anyway, all of our hosts, please stay in the stream for after we play it out. I'd like to keep talking to you guys. And to everybody else, you know what? We'll catch you later.